Baptism is in the air, so I think we'll just talk about it. You know, as we know, there are three types of baptism. So we're going to we'll just look through it, and then we'll look at how we can apply it. I'm going to draw the traditional tabernacle. Brother Bot has been drawing for us the new tabernacle. Yes, you are drawing the new tabernacle that opens into eternity.
There you go.
Well, I'm going to draw the traditional one. Amen. So this is the tabernacle of Moses. Of Moses. And then so those are the three compartments. So that's the tabernacle with the three compartments. I believe that in this meeting we have spent a lot of time on the first station, and then this is the second. So there are seven steps, you know, going up to the fullness. The first one is an altar. Altar of brass. The second one is also brass, but it's a laver. A laver is something as a basin. So it's brass basin. They're all of brass. Brass is a place of judgment. And then you have a table. You have a table. And then you have that's number three. No, sorry, actually it's number four. You have a lampstand. You have a lamp. And that's seven. The holy place is a dark place, which speaks of my soul, your mind. The Bible says the mind is dark, it's a dark, darkened. You know? So you need light. Okay, so this lampstand is the third. This is the fourth experience. And then there's another altar here. It's a square. It's the fourth. It's the fifth, sorry. But this altar is made of brass. Completely of brass. So it's an altar. Sorry, did I say brass? Gold. The altar of gold. And then you have the veil. And the veil is speaks of your personality. or your flesh. Same as your flesh. And then you now have the box or a vessel and it has cherubims on both sides. And then you have fire. You have the fire coming. So the box is a cyst, and then the covering of it is called the mercy seat, and that is the seven. So there are seven experiences or seven stations that the soul has to go through to get to the tree of life. Or to come, remember at the beginning in Genesis chapter 2, is it 2 or 1? Genesis chapter 2, he told Adam to take, to partake of the tree of life. And also in that place, he also had the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Brother Bot was talking about that yesterday and the day before. The call for Adam to partake of life. When you say tree, it's not a physical tree. A tree means something that grows. Yes, so when you say tree of life, it means there is a place in the spirit in which the soul is sealed with the ability to continuously partake of life. It cannot partake of death again. That's what you mean, tree of life. You say, why always growing? So, when man gets into eternity, he will continually be growing in life. Yeah, so that's what the Bible means by tree of life. It's a place of the spirit. Just like the body, this body is in Nairobi. Your soul dwells in a realm of the spirit, because the soul is a spiritual being. People say the soul is a spirit. It's not really correct. The soul is a spiritual being because it has both capacity to manifest naturally, physically, and also manifest spiritually. So the soul is not completely spirit, but it is more spirit than physical. Alright, so it's a spiritual being. Alright, so being that it's a spiritual being, it operates on a higher level than the body. So man has a body, which is natural, that's my body. It must be in one location at one time. But the soul is a spiritual living being. So it also operates on a higher dimension, but it operates in a realm. Alright? It's a realm of the spirit. Okay. And just like in the earth, there are different levels, different types of cities. So also in the spirit, the soul operates in various degrees of light or darkness. I don't know if you can understand that. Okay, so the tabernacle shows different dimensions of light that the soul can grow. Now, Bible says God dwells in a light which no natural man can come into. God dwells in light. But if the soul is going to be joined to God, that means it has to grow in light. Amen. You understand? Uh-huh. So the soul must acquire the nature of light. But you see, before that time, the soul has been in darkness. We saw that yesterday when Brother God was telling us. You understand? So all outside here is the world. This is the world. And the whole world lies in darkness, you know so? So the soul has been in darkness in Egypt. So he comes out of Egypt into the kingdom of light. So you say he has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into light. Now, when you are born again, you don't leave Nairobi and go somewhere else. You are still in Nairobi, isn't it?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So the change we are speaking about is a change in the spiritual realm. So we think it's actually speaking about the inward man, what the Bible calls the inner man. The inner man is the soul and spirit. You understand? Uh-huh. So the change must be natural. It's first in the spirit, then the body will eventually be changed. That's the last, you know. You understand that? So there will be a change in the body, but not before the soul has changed.
Amen.
It's a change in the soul that affects the change in the body. So as you are getting closer to God, your body will also be changing. There will be less and less sickness, and less death. You understand? Mm-hmm. So those are just some basics, you know, about what we're talking about. Today we're concerning ourselves with the second one, the second experience. Now the Bible says, "He that is saved should be baptized," isn't it? Not?
Mm-hmm.
When you are saved, then you are baptized. So this, the experience when you say saved, you are talking about this one. So I can draw this here. So the cross begins, like he said, the cross is the doorway, is like a door to enter. So we come in at the cross. That's the place the blood is applied to our soul. Now, the blood of Jesus is not water or a liquid. Tamir, is that correct? The blood of Jesus, is it liquid or a spirit? It's not liquid because you have not seen it. Have you seen the blood before? But it's there. Uh-huh. So it's a spirit. Does that make sense? Uh-huh. Because it's a spirit, it's for the soul. You don't open your, you don't take water and you start washing your soul. So it's rather a spirit. In other words, it's life. You understand?
Yes.
The blood of Jesus is life and it's also light.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So that is what you need for the darkness in my soul, is the blood. So you must apply the blood to your soul for your soul to be changed from darkness to light. For your soul to begin the process of what? Rising in God. So even though you are physically walking, but in your soul you are climbing up higher. You are rising. You understand? You are the level at which your soul is, and okay, when we say the soul, we're speaking of your mind. You understand? You say those that wait upon the Lord, what would they do? They need their strength. They will do what? They will mount up. Exactly. Exactly. So when you stay too long, like in this conference, when you came and now, is your mind at the same place? Uh-huh. Your mind is rising. It's higher. Uh-huh. The word of God comes to you and quickens your mind. Alright, and takes you higher. You know, so the altar, an altar is a place where an offering is made, isn't it? That David said, "My soul, praise the Lord." Is that in your Bible? How can your soul praise the Lord? So it means your soul is the altar. Do you understand? So you don't need to go to a physical building or go to a physical church to bring an offering. So man is the altar of God. Man is the altar of God. And in that altar, the main altar is your mind, is your soul. That's why the devil also wants your mind. The devil wants your mind. Because your mind will either bring offering to God or offering to the devil. any offering you put there. So if your offering is that of darkness, bad thoughts, bad feelings, anger, bitterness, it's an offering. But it's an offering to the devil. Darkness. You understand? So every man is a priest. You bring worship. You bring altar. You know? That's pretty what we were saying the other day. So the devil wants you to bring an altar, be an altar of darkness. Always bring him offering, giving him energy. When you get angry, it's an offering. The devil gets a life and he's stronger to afflict you. Amen. When you start praising God, the devil runs away. Because you are now walking in the light. Amen. Okay. So, the altar is not a table in the church that you go to. You are going to the altar. You are the altar.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So, that's why you must be careful what you think about, what you read. Young people, has any of you read Harry Potter?
Yeah.
So we're going to pray for you by the end of the year. That's Harry Potter. We're going to blast it out. Harry Potter is sorcery and witchcraft, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Exactly. So when you start reading, what that means is you are now initiating your mind. Samora, you didn't answer. Have you read Harry Potter?
Yeah, but I'm not a big fan.
You shouldn't even be a small fan. Talk of the big fan. I'm the big fan, praise God. We shall purge the small fan. So you'll not be a fan at all. Amen. Because it's magic. Alright? He's teaching you how to be, you know, a sorcerer, a little magician. You know, also to use good magic. They call it good magic for good things. Magic can help you for good things. Amen. So two of you are listening?
Yes.
So it's very important so that it will help you deal with some of the issues. You know, some of the movies and films. You notice most of these films, there's a section of CNN, DSTV, where they have a lot of those cartoon programs. 90% of them have sorcery and magic. Is that correct?
Yes.
Jim Jam.
Moana.
What was the other one?
Avatar.
No, those are bad ones. I'm talking about DSTV. They have special channels. Scooby-Doo. Alright? Pocahontas. Which other one? Most of those programs, Small City. All those things. Okay, you know some of them? Yeah. Because it flies, disappear and come. You know, a lot of them Nigerian movies. Nigerian movies has a lot of disappearing and coming, and magic. Anyway, all those things, it's speaking to something inside. Is it not speaking to something? So the point I'm trying to make is that you are an altar. You, your mind, your emotion, your desire. So anything you like to come into your mind, you give yourself to it, you become a priest of it. You understand? Mm-hmm. But what we are looking at is that this is showing that you are supposed to be an altar of God. You are supposed to be bringing offering to God. Your life is an offering. You don't go to church when you clap. What you do is the offering. Do you understand? That's what they have taught us in church, which is wrong. You don't go to church, you are church. You know, the things you do every day is the worship, is the offering. Do you understand? So that's what the tabernacle is speaking about. It's a house, but it's telling you about you. It's a house telling you about you. Alright. And in that tabernacle, the first place you come to is this altar of brass. Now, why is it an altar of brass? It is brass. Because brass means judgment. Brass means judgment. Now, what is God judging? God is judging all the unclean things, all the things of witchcraft, sorcery that I'm doing. I can't bring all those things into the house of God. You know? So when God, when the children of Israel went to Canaan and Egypt, God told them, you must destroy their altars. You must break down their images. That's why I was talking to you about the images you have in movies. You know, when you listen to a song, it creates an image in your mind. You understand? So that's why the devil has bought over the mind of young people. You know, different kinds of songs, you know. All those things, they song, they create images in you. And those images are the offering. So they defy you, and God says you must therefore bring them to the place where you bring an offering. You turn away from those things. Alright? Now, in this place, there were four horns. There were four horns at this altar. And the Bible says that when you go into the altar, they will take blood and put it on the horn. What does that mean? You say you take blood and you put it on the altar. Blood is the blood of Jesus Christ, isn't it? Uh-huh. This altar has four sides. And he's speaking of the four sides of the soul. So this altar is the soul of man. This altar is the soul of man. And it must be redeemed. So, assuming this, so that is speaking about my soul. And in Leviticus chapter 17, Bible says he has given us the blood to make atonement for the soul. It's the blood. So it's not by doing good things, but it's by the blood that my mind can be changed. You understand? Now, the blood of Jesus is there for you to use every day. Do you understand? Because he told them every day to bring an offering in the morning, to bring an offering in the evening. What is he saying? That blood should be working for you every day. So you use the blood to clean your mind, keep it clean. So you put the blood at the horns of the altar. And when you do that, you make a redemption for you. You bring a cleansing. So if a bad thought comes to you, you have detergent to wash it. What's that detergent?
It's the blood.
Amen. He said, if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, is it not? And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So a good Christian is one that's always being covered by the blood. You know, you keep clean by the blood. There is something else that keeps you clean. What's that? The word of God. You say you are clean by the word of God, by the words. Uh-huh. So the word and the blood and the Holy Spirit, they keep you, they keep your mind and your soul clean. Okay, so you cannot, there's no point going to be baptized when your mind has not been redeemed. That's why I brought it. You know. Now, if somebody is baptized, that is, you come here, without going here, it means you are now a wet sinner. Like, you go to the church, they said, you want to be baptized, you have a godfather, because your father is in the church. So of us, you know, our parents were in the church, we came, and they said, we want to baptize you. So when they pour water on you, they say you are not born again. Is that possible? Does water make you born again?
No.
It's the blood. So you must have the blood. It's the blood that makes you born again, that redeems you, that brings forgiveness and sins by the blood. So Jesus says, when you have been saved, then you are baptized. Now, the baptism is a confirmation. It is a second work in the soul. Okay? The first work is forgiveness of sin. And it's a covenant also. So This place, this altar, is a place of covenant where we make a covenant of blood, of life. Blood speaks of life, isn't it? So God gave His life for our life. We give Him our wretched, crooked, unclean lives, and He gives us His own life. So we are in a covenant relationship, you know, with God. You know, so you must have that covenant before you can talk of baptism. All right. Now, some people want to be baptized because they feel if they are baptized, then they are a member of a church. That's a very wrong. That's another wrong reason also. You know. So baptism is not about being a member of a church. They say unless you are baptized, you cannot be accepted as a member of the church. In fact, they will not write your name in the register. When you are baptized, then your name enters the register. Okay, so that's another wrong teaching that we have in the church. All right. Now, baptism, this place, there are three experiences. There are three experiences after we are born again, after our sins are forgiven. We come to the next experience. Now, inside this basin, you have water. Now, how it worked was that the priests, when they make when they make the offerings and sacrifices at the altar, their hands are clean, become soiled. All right. Now, before they can go into this place, into the holy place, they must first wash their hands, wash their clothes, you know, and be clean. So this is a place of sanctification. It's a place where we are clean. All right. So the message of this place is sanctification, to be clean. Now, the second message of this place of washing is consecration. Our brother Sam talked about that. It's the one, is it not? We have a message of consecration. So consecration means to set aside something specially for the use of somebody. Alright, so that is what consecration means. And he talked about the Nazarite vow, where we are consecrated to God. Alright. So that's the message of the believer. But there's a third message. And that is the message of baptism. So baptism is the other message, because you have water. Now, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, what did God do to them? Do you remember? Yes. What do you think He did? Samora, what happened? Have you heard this story before? When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, what happened to them? Think. Where did they go to? Where was God taking them to? They were going to Canaan, isn't it? Uh-huh. But before they went to go to Canaan, they passed through somewhere. What? Mount Sinai? Yes, but there was something that somewhere they had to go through to go to Mount Sinai. There was a place. There was something, there was an experience.
What? It was an evil. It was Jordan.
No, not Jordan. Try again. Tamai. What river is that? Before they got to the wilderness, they passed through a river. What was it called? Red Sea. You see, it's not so bad. You see, you know it. It's not so bad. It's okay. It's a river actually, but they called it a sea. Alright, but it was a very big river. So why do you think God took them through the river? The bigger ones now, the smaller ones I've tried, they have told you. So why do you think God took them through that river? Prepare. It was a preparation. Or what? They entered the river. What are they doing? What are they doing in the river? Why did they have to go through the river? Why couldn't they just walk into? Okay. Is there a place where the Bible talks about that thing that happened? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Please call that touch hands. Tell her praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. let her tell us. So where do you find the experience where they passed through the river when they came out of Egypt? Where do you find it in the New Testament? It's in Corinthians.
1 Corinthians 10.
1 Corinthians 10 says that they passed through the river. I actually use the word baptism. They were baptized unto Moses. Good. So when they passed through that Red Sea, it was actually a baptism. So God did a mass baptism for them. It was a mass baptism. They entered into the water. The water overshadowed them. When they passed through the Red Sea, through the dry ground. So why did God do that? What does that signify? Why did God do that? Why did I have to go? Okay, now, what do you do? How do you baptize someone? What does the Bible say? How do you baptize someone? By immersion. Okay, can we use another word? Burial. It's a burial, is it not?
Yes.
Now, when you are buried, do you stay there?
No.
What happens? It raises up. So, you are buried and you are raising up. Alright, so now apply it. They are coming out of Egypt, they are going to Canaan. So why did God have to bury them?
Egypt.
What was God burying?
Egypt. Inside of them.
Do you understand? So when they entered the ceremonially, God was burying Egypt inside. And was there anybody from Egypt who was actually buried in that river?
Yes.
Who?
Pharaoh. And his army. And the horses and their carriers.
So what do those things speak of? What does Pharaoh speak of? What does the horses carry of? What does the army carry of? The articles of Egypt. The ministries of Egypt. The life of Egypt. So God buried Egypt inside. So when you are doing baptism, you are burying your old life. The old man is buried. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there is no way you can be baptized without being born again. You must first be saved. Because that means you have, you know, the old man is judged. But you see, this second step is another one. It's like another dying, another touch of God. You understand? It's more like a covenant. God is not making that I'm dead to the world. You understand? Paul said the world is crucified to me, and I am also crucified to the world. Amen. That's what baptism means. It means you are burying the old life. You are burying the old man. You are actually burying the failures of man. And as you rise up, he speaks of the resurrection. He says a new life. It's actually a prophecy. You are prophesying that I'm arising in newness of life. I'm declaring that I am going back to the purpose of God for my life.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
And what was the purpose of man? That man should be part of the Elohim, part of the Godhead. You know, I want to fulfill the plan of God to judge darkness in my life. Not to multiply darkness, but that in my life darkness will come to an end. Do you understand? That's what baptism is. You are declaring, you are telling the devil. You know, the brother was talking about you today, that God said he will, through my life and through your life, teach principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. So baptism is that experience, that covenant. I'm saying, God, I offer myself that in my life, darkness will be judged. You know, the power of sin will be judged. You know, so baptism is a very strong experience. It's not a ceremonial. It's not just, let me just do it. Amen.
Amen.
So baptism is that speaking in the spirit of death to the old man and newness of life.
Hallelujah.
So Romans says that as we have been planted in the likeness of his death, we shall also be raised up in the newness of life. Amen.
Amen.
And one of the things that is judged at baptism is sin. You know, we think that sin can never, I can never overcome sin. It's not true. He said, let not sin therefore have dominion over your mortal body.
Amen.
Amen. You know, so, you know, sin can be judged and must be judged.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so as we come to baptism, we are entering to that victory over sin. So it says, do not yield your members as instruments to unrighteousness. So rather we should yield it to God. So we are coming to a covenant where we say, God, from now I'll begin to use my members. Now, when the Bible says member, what does members mean? Who can tell us? What is members? When the Bible says, do not yield your members, what are your members? It means many things. It can mean the different parts of your soul, your mind, your emotion, and all that. You know, so members can also mean the senses of your eyes, the things, you know, you understand? Your body, your lifestyle, all those things. So we should not yield it to the devil. We saw yesterday that the devil is not as powerful as we think. The devil needs you to do what he wants to do. So if you do not yield to the devil, he has no power over you. Amen.
Amen.
And in, where is that now? In Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, it's a very powerful scripture. It says 70 weeks are determined to make an end of sin. To make an end of sins. To bring in, to finish the transgression, and to make a reconciliation for iniquity. Righteousness. You know, the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint. You know, so he's saying that 70 weeks are determined for you to come to the most holy experience in God. So God wants to make an end of sin in our lives. He wants to make an end of sin.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You know, so baptism has three parts. Have you seen it? Daniel 9, 24 to 27, but the one we talked about is verse 24. Okay, yeah, with some ginger, maybe to have, yeah. You know, so Daniel 9:24 is very powerful scripture. You should never forget it. It tells you that God wants to make an end of sin. Sin will not rule over our mortal bodies. Sin will not rule over us. There are people who preach that we can never commit sin, we can never overcome sin. That's not in the Bible. What's in the Bible is that God will make an end of sin. And it says, therefore, do not let sin rule over our mortal body. So we can overcome. We don't overcome by our strength, but we overcome by the power of Christ. Yesterday we saw that when you are born again, you receive a seed. You receive the seed of Christ. Now, Christ overcame sin at Calvary. So he gives you something extra. Amen. You receive the seed of Christ. That seed of Christ is a person. It's a personality. It's a spirit. It is a life. It is a power. In fact, it is light that is now working against darkness. Amen.
Amen.
So there is some, it's in the Paul said, the life I now live, I live by the faith or by the reality of the Son of God or the seed of Christ. So when you receive the seed of Christ, if that seed begins to manifest, and it will fight against darkness, it will fight against ungodliness. It is active.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So if you become sensitive, you will find out that there is another life in you. In fact, Paul says, there is another law in my members, fighting against another law, and that's the law of darkness. Amen. So there are two things fighting now. Darkness is fighting against light, is it not? But the Bible says that light shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot win the war. Amen.
Amen.
So you have something extra over the devil, over darkness, over, you know. And the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ. So Christ is in you. I say Christ in you is what? The hope of glory. So the Christ in you is bringing you to a new reality where Christ takes over your life. In fact, that is the last baptism. Christ comes into you to bring you into Christ. Do you understand that? Christ comes into you to baptize you into Christ. Do you know? And that Christ is very active, very stubborn. You cannot put it down. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So, the first baptism is baptism in water. It's a natural baptism. And it is a man that baptizes in water. Huh? Philip baptized who? Who did Philip baptize? Is that correct? The centurion in that jailer. Who baptized him?
Paul.
Paul. Isn't it? He told them, go and baptize all nations. Okay, so man baptizes you with water. So that's the first experience. Now, there's a second baptism. And this baptism is Jesus that baptizes you. Amen. Now, but Jesus baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. Alright, so how can we show that? Yes. But I want to draw something different. This will make it clearer. No, the Bible says man has three parts. Okay, let's go to our class again. You know why we have a class? Tama?
Yeah.
Good. Now, man has three parts. You have three parts. So mention them. First one. What is it? That's a body one. Two. Samara, what's the second part of you? What lives inside this body? Eh? Voice. not just something more than voice. Uh-huh, so good. And then there's the third part. Holy Spirit is that there is something. Not everybody has Holy Spirit. There's something everybody has. What's that? Your brain is part of your body. Spirit. You have a spirit. The Bible says there is a spirit in man. And the inspiration of God brings understanding. Okay. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, what happened? How did God create man? How did he form? What did God do? What did God create first? When he was making Adam? He took what?
He took
clay. That's the earth.
Earth.
The minerals, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, metals. Those metals, you took the metals and formed it. Good. Does God breathe oxygen? Does God need oxygen?
No.
So if he doesn't need oxygen, how did he breathe?
He
breathed
out.
What is it? The inspiration. So God breathed out. He poured himself into that clay, is it not? So that's what we call the inward man. That's the real you. Because when Bible said that when the man dies, what happens? The elements, the hydrogen, carbon dioxide, potassium, sodium, what happens to them? But that thing God breathed in you, what happens to it? It goes to God for judgment. Is it not so? So it's important that you must pay attention to your inward man, because you must give attention. God said, what shall it profit a man to gain all the world? What is this? This is brain, isn't it? Brain is clinical psychologist. My brain is doctor. When I die, what happens? The brain goes down to the ground. So what goes to God is not clinical psychologist. What goes to God is your soul. You understand? So if I spend all my life just clinical psychology, taking care of my body, wearing nice clothes, watching movies, going to, having fun, I've wasted my life. You see? I wasted my life. So, you see? Yeah, you can keep it. So, we are talking about this. So, man has three parts: the body, the soul, the spirit. The spirit does not sin. Does the spirit sin? Is there anywhere where it says the spirit has sinned? They say the soul that sinned must account for what it has done, isn't it? So the spirit is a different thing together. It's a help. God gave you His Spirit to help you to present your soul to God. Amen. Hallelujah. So if at the end of life you do not use your spirit, the spirit goes back to God and says, well, I tried my best. He was very stubborn. The Bible says the Spirit of God will not always strive. Is it not? Uh-huh. Good. So this, the body is just a vehicle. But we spend so much time on this vehicle, this tent. The real person that needs attention is the soul. Is it not? Okay, good. So, those are the three parts. So this is the, let's say the body. This is the soul. And then this is the body. Sorry, the spirit. Okay, the soul has those four parts. The mind, emotion, the desire, and the will. Okay? This is the ego. Sorry. This is the emotion is the lion, isn't it? Emotion has the nature of a lion. The mind is emotion, the nature of an ego. The desire is earthbound, so it's like a creeping animal, and then the will is like the ox. Alright. So see, very exciting. They have all these things inside you. You have an ego. You have a lion. You have a creeping creature that likes the earth. So that means your desire is the problem. When you want to go to God, He says, no, I want chapati. So He's looking for natural things. Alright? And then of course you have the will. Now, baptism in water is for the body. Okay, that's one simple way to understand it. The first baptism is for the body. Is that clear? Okay, and the person that baptizes you is man. Amen. Oh, we're going to do baptism this evening. And it's going to be some brothers who will, the brother Sam will do the baptism. So he's a man. And I will assist him. Amen. Say amen. Now, so there are three parts of man, and each one of them must be baptized. Amen.
Amen.
So the second baptism is with the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Ghost. So the second baptism is for my spirit or your spirit. Amen. So first your body is baptized. Second baptism is for your spirit. And okay, let me draw it here. So you have the Spirit of God. Alright? And Christ. And you have the Father. So, the second baptism, the Spirit of God comes into your spirit and takes over your spirit. That is the second baptism. Amen. So the Spirit of God now comes, invades your spirit, and takes it over. And that's what you call the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So it remains one more baptism. What is that baptism? And this second one is carried out by who? By Christ. Jesus is the one that baptized. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, Jesus says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So, Jesus is the one that baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2. Acts 2. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And he said, this is the promise that is to all, everyone who believes. Alright? So that leaves, it leaves somewhere. So it leaves the soul. The soul, my mind, my emotions, my desire, my will must also be baptized. So what happened is that when the Spirit of Christ, when the Holy Ghost comes, when the Holy Ghost comes into my spirit, remember that already there is a seed of Christ in my soul, in my heart. There's a seed of Christ in my heart. But that Christ has not taken over my mind. He's a visitor. In fact, he's been oppressed. He's a minority. He has no say. Amen. In fact, you can even abort the pregnancy. You can make chic break off your feet. You say, I don't want Christ anymore. Amen. Is that possible?
Yes.
So, it's not just enough to say I'm born again. The Christ, the seed, that seed must be well granted. That's why he told us the story about the sower. Some people received the word of God. They're very happy. We came here last
April.
And some people were very happy. Praise God. Yeah. We are back again. We are looking for them. So not just enough to receive the word. It must have root, isn't it?
Yeah.
That seed must grow down. So if you're a farmer, you just go and plant and say, I planted, you go away. No. You have to water it. You know, take away the seed. The birds will come, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. You know, sometimes maybe the ground may be stony, so you must water it. You must take care of it. So when you receive Christ, the Christ must be formed. And that Christ must take over my mind. So there's a difference between my mind and the seed of Christ in my mind. Amen.
Amen.
So that is why when God puts the seed of Christ in me, that seed must multiply to the point where it overcomes my mind. So the seed of Christ in my soul must overcome my soul. It must conquer it. And it is that experience that you call baptism into Christ. I don't know if you understand. So Christ comes into my soul that he might bring my mind into Christ. He comes into my soul that he might bring my desires into Christ. So I can have Christ in me and still desire the old man, the old desire is still having his way. You understand? So there are two desires. The Bible calls it the spirit and the flesh. So when the Bible talks about the flesh, it means actually the old nature. You understand? And remember, I drew something in the writing to say that you have the old nature. This old nature, they call it the flesh. What else? Our old man. Paul calls it the old man. But this nature is falling. It has fallen into sin. It's now in rebellion. It's actually a coup plotter. It plotted a coup with the devil. He said, we'll overthrow God. We shall be as God. Don't you understand? So the Bible calls him the kings of the earth. They want to rule over the earth. We don't need God anymore. We'll take over the earth. God, there's nothing like God. God is a phantom. God has no role. I'm a man of myself. So different, all those are parts of yes. Remember, we also mentioned that you have this seed of darkness, and then you have the spirits of darkness, spirits feeding on darkness. Darkness itself, and also feeding on the fallen nature. You understand? So it is in the interest of the devil that I remain who I am. Even though I receive Christ, but that Christ will not be formed in me. Amen. So now the Bible said that by one spirit are we baptized into Christ. So when you plant the seed, who waters the seed? So what is the water in this case? Is it the word of God? The Holy Ghost, is it not? The blood. So the Bible tells us that there are three things that bring life to the seed. One, the water, that's the word of God. Two, the Holy Spirit, the water of the Holy Ghost. Three, the blood. Amen. So those are the three things that bring life to the Spirit of Christ in you. Amen.
Amen.
Alright. So Christ is in us. And in God's economy, God has made a provision of how to cause the Christ in us to grow by the ministry and anointing of the Holy Ghost. So Christ is in my spirit, but it must get into my soul. Do you understand? Okay. And that is what is, that's where the church should be now, where Christ is beginning to have access into my mind. So I now have the mind of Christ. no longer my natural mind, I have the mind of Christ. Amen. I have the emotions of Christ. No longer my carnal, natural emotions. I have the desires of Christ. I have the will of Christ. Not my will, but thy be done. Amen. So that is the third baptism. Where is it? Okay, so the first one is in water. The first baptism is in water. Second one is the Holy Spirit. And then the third one is the baptism of Christ. It's Christ. I think I agree with that. What was writing next here? Where was it? Okay. Yeah. So the third baptism is for the soul. And it's the baptism in Christ. And it's done by the Holy Spirit. So let's summarize. Let's go over it again and summarize so that we can end. The first baptism is in water. It's for the body. It's conducted by a man. And you use water. Amen.
Amen.
Second baptism is the baptism of the Spirit. You use the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost that comes in, and it is done by Jesus Christ. Amen. So the Holy Ghost that has come into your spirit will now baptize your soul into Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you cannot be His. You see, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, then you cannot be part of Christ. So the Spirit of Christ will bring you into Christ and not into the church. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
So the Spirit of Christ can never lead you into an organization. It will lead you into Christ. In fact, it will make you to submit to the head. Because it says, the things they say, I will send my Spirit. And he will not speak of himself. But he will hear, he will receive the things of me, and it will show it to you. Amen.
Amen.
And the Bible says that by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Amen. So, the body of Christ is the central point is Christ, the head. Amen. So, Jesus, through his Spirit, will be drawing you close to himself. Amen. That's how you know, that's how you know you are growing. When you are getting closer to Jesus, not closer to your pastor. Amen. If you're a good church worker, then there's a problem. If you know more of the church and have less of Jesus, then that means you are in an organization and you are not in the body of Christ. So you can be born again and not in the body of Christ. Is it possible?
Yes.
Is it possible?
Yes.
I hope you know the consequence of what you are saying. You are the one saying it. You are the gate beautiful. Amen. You are at the entrance of Christ, but you cannot go in. Nobody is there to carry you in. You are lame. You need Christ to heal you so that you can jump inside. Amen. Hallelujah. So Christ is that temple. Well, I'm sure when you talk of temple, you are thinking of the one in Jerusalem. No. Christ is that temple. Amen. And each one of us, we are the small, small temples in the big temple. Say, my father's house, there are what?
Many mansions.
Do you think it was story buildings in the sky? Story buildings in the sky? No, no, no. In my father's house, there are many small, small dwelling places. You are, you know, we all are the dwelling places. Amen. You know, so we have an access into Christ. So the water baptism is a prophecy that I'm going to be baptized into Christ. Amen. I remember Christ is that many-membered body that will have the fullness of the Godhead.
Hallelujah.
So say the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth bodily. So when you are doing baptism, you are prophesying that my soul must be the house of God. Was it the dwelling place of God? My mind, my emotions, everything will be taken over by God. Amen. That means all will be offered unto Christ. So the message of baptism is very powerful. You know, and that's what we've been looking at. And when you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the next experience is to bring you inside the holy place. Alright, so baptism into Christ brings you into the holy place. What I call the holy place life. Yes, the holy place life. And the holy place life is when two things are happening. One, there is a light. So you have light. And you have life. The light comes from the lampstand. And the life comes from the bread. And that is the shoes of it. And but Jesus said, Jesus said, I am the bread of life, you know. So Christ is the bread. Hallelujah. So it means that there is a there's a different type of energy that you can have. That you are alive, you are now running on heaven energy. Amen.
Amen.
People are running on Nairobi energy. You are running on heaven energy. Why? Because you are feeding on Christ. And where is the Christ? The Christ is in you. Amen. If you are feeding on Christ, you don't need television to be happy. Why? Pukwa.
I'm feeding my soul with the blood of Jesus.
So it says the joy of the Lord is what?
Is my strength.
Why do you need the things around you to give you strength? Passion. Because you already have passion inside. Amen. Do you get the trick? Uh-huh. So when you begin to feed on the Christ, you will not have time for the right things outside. Amen.
Amen.
So there are other saying there is a strength in you. He said there is a river that makes glad the city of God.
Mm.
And it's coming from the throne of God. So as you grow in God, you will come to the point where you will notice that there is a source of life from God. When you come into fellowship with God, you will receive life. And it begins to affect your body. Yes, you have divine health. He said, I wish that thou mayest prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. That is called divine health, not health of garlic and ginger. We praise God for ginger and garlic. There's another heavenly life.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Jesus said, as I live in my Father and I live by my Father, so also he that liveth to me will live by me. Now this is a different, this is a higher dimension. You understand? Uh-huh. So we must go from the lower to the higher dimension. Amen. They told Jesus, we have some bread for you. He said, man, I have bread to eat that you don't know of. Is that what he said? It says, my meat is to do what? To do the word of God. And finish it. Amen. So this is where we are going to. We are not going for a breakthrough. 1 million shillings. 100 million Kenyan shillings. That's not our breakthrough. Our breakthrough is to come into that place of life. Amen. Where we are being fed by the energy of heaven. We are living by the heavenly economy. So Kenya economy can crash. Heavenly can never crash. Amen.
Amen.
So when men say there is a casting down, you say no, there is a lifting up. You say, what is your strength? My strength in the Lord. You say, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills.
Yes.
Eh? From where cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're talking about looking inward and tapping in to that source of life. but there's a pathway into that place, and that is the baptism. Okay, so it's important that we must come into the experience of the baptism, the place of consecration. As the Nazarites of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Consecrated.
Amen.
Amen. When we are consecrated and we are separated, there are two different things. Sanctification means to make clean. Consecration means to set aside what you have made clean and to make it more clean. Amen.
Amen.
So Jesus says, for your sake, I sanctify myself. And he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Okay, so we'll close at this point. Unless there are any questions. I'll try to make it simple so that you can follow. So any questions? Even though we will pray and then
it's not fun, it's across the place for the
bathroom. Yes. Okay, so if there are no questions, we will pray and close. The meeting continues tomorrow. Praise God. First, let's close this one. Then we'll talk about tomorrow. And by the way, some of us are also traveling today. So you will pray for us. So, Vivian, hand it over to you. I'll go and close and pray for us.
He's also going today.
Well,
yes.
It's okay. He will pray for us and pray for himself. So wait for you.
Yes.
And you go and come back.
Yes.
Yes.